to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Well, well, well. It is Thursday, September 23rd. Thanks for joining us. It's the Sports Hangover. I'm Gus Kattengill. We'll hear from the intern at some point today, maybe. No. Might have gotten in trouble for using his phone during walking class. You heard that right. Buddy, back over the La Rose studios. If you want to chime in and say hello and be a part of the conversation, it's 800-998-1003. Also, if you'd like to tweet at us, it's at ESPN Radio NOLA as we start turning our attention towards the Saints and Patriots coming up later on the weekend. But today on Thursdays, we like to do here on the show, we tend to focus a little bit more on college football as our day, as the college football week starts. I know the NFL week starts as well, but LSU taking on Mississippi State, starting SEC play for them. Right now, Tigers a 2.5-point favorite as they go over to Stark Vegas. We'll hear from the voice of the Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair, at 12:45. At 12:30, Corey Glore is going to move in an hour early. Ben Heisler's got a meeting, so fantasy football questions normally Thursdays at 12:30. Today it's 1:30, so you got a little bit more time to get your fantasy football questions, but it will be today, 1:30. We'll speak with Ben Heisler. Corey Glore, though, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, on being back home. What was it like to actually walk into his own radio booth over there at Yulman Stadium? It's been a while, a month. Everyone's been gone. And then coming up next segment, we'll kick things off with our Saints coverage with Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. I'm going to start with something with him that I'll start here in a minute after I wrap up the rest of the show. Lee Sterling, 2:15. Chip Patterson, CBSSports.com at 2:30. Some big matchups in and around the country. What does he feel from last week? And we can move on from that perspective. So again, 800-998-1003. Is the way to chime into the conversation if you'd like throughout the show and at ESPN Radio NOLA, where our question of the day is, what do Saints have to do differently, better, or just do in order to not have a repeat over at Carolina? Well, I quote tweeted that, you know, where you could actually put something in the tweet that Jordan put out there. Block. Literally. It'd be helpful. It'd be a start. How about that? Brian Baldinger, I love him. At Baldy NFL, he likes to look at different games, puts a little two and a half minute video clips. He did one earlier in the week that showed the Saints just, the miscommunication was awful. Jameis Winston spoke yesterday. We'll hear about that and from him in this segment. But it was awful. It just really honestly was. It didn't get any better by Thursday, as he just posted something literally 2 hours ago. And I'm seeing this morning. And I'm like, I got to play this. I got to open with it. Because hey, look, there's a ton of storylines. We did this yesterday. Give me your storylines going into this week's game. Tons of storylines. It really is as simple, though. If they don't figure out what in the bleep happened in the community, I've never seen anything like that. It was insane. I almost feel like calling T-Bob. Play the O-line, right? Like, is it normal to have your center block the air or grass what felt like 50% of the game? I don't know. Like, did Cesar Ruiz go to practice? Was it Jameis not helping? I'm at a loss. I've never seen a center literally not block anybody a lot. I don't know the percentage. I didn't break it down. Maybe Nick Underhill will do a story on every snap and how many times he actually had a body in front of him or not. But overwhelmingly, the times that you saw Jameis Winston under pressure, under duress, getting hit, getting sacked, Cesar Ruiz, the team center, was blocking no one. It's crazy. And not just him. Routinely, more than one Saints offensive lineman was blocking no one. This is the video he put out two hours ago.
Right here, with 42 seconds to go in the second quarter. The Panthers run this pressure at Jameis Winston on first and 10. That's Sean Chandler, 34. He's going to come free off the edge. They're going to drop Jermaine Carter to take the crosser right here. And Kamara is forced to stay in to take chin. Two Saint offensive linemen are blocking grass. And Sean Chandler comes after Jameis Winston. He gets his ball out. It's dropped. Okay, now here's the wide shot of it. This is what it looked like. All right, looks like a quarters look pre-snap. All right, now here comes Sean Chandler. It keeps Kamara in. Chandler forces that bad throw. Kamara is really frustrated. All right? Body language says it all. So sometimes you double up a play because it worked, sometimes because it didn't work. The very next play, they run the exact same blitz. This time, Chandler just lines up at the scrimmage, 30. They drop Jermaine Carter. They get the overload. Kamara's forced to take Brian Burns, gets crushed, and here comes Sean Chandler, another errant throw. So they've just run the exact same blitz two plays in a row. Would they run it a third time? They run the exact same blitz for the third time in a row. Phil Snow's going, well, they ain't stopped it the first two times. Let's run it again. And here it is. Here comes Chandler again. This time Jeremy Chinn comes free. And Jameis Winston throws this ball up for grabs because he gets hit and pressured. The Carolina Panthers ran the exact same blitz three plays in a row. I mean, here it is. There they are. There's Chinn and there's Carter. Here's the Saints. There's Kamara. Chandler's going to come off the edge. Here he comes. This time, see, Cesar Ruiz is told, okay, when you're in shotgun, I'll take one A-gap. Kamara will take the other A-gap. They keep dropping it. And they haven't picked it up yet. They still haven't picked it up. They could have run this a fourth, a fifth, or a sixth time. They weren't going to beat this blitz.
I'm trying to have it a good, it's beautiful outside, 75 degrees, I got the window open, I drove with the windows down, the sunroof was great, and I see that, I'm at a loss. That last play when Winston threw the pick, when he spun for his life on the logo at the Panther 50, that pressure came right past your center, Cesar Ruiz. I mean, he literally let him go. That was the play through the interception, and you know he was trying to hit Deontay Harris for a touchdown in the end zone. He was open, by the way. Baldinger's first video of the week shows Harris smoked this guy. If the center picks up somebody, just gets in his way. Forget blocking. Just steps to the right. Winston might be able to deliver the football. Instead, the guy lined up literally in front of Cesar Ruiz. Goes right past him. Winston has to spin for his life. Flings it. Interception. I've never seen anything like that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I get there's communication. Oh, I just, wow. They ran the same play three times. And the center blocked the air. All three times. You think not having Eric McCoy mattered? I've never seen anything like that. Never seen anything like that. So, of course, yesterday, Jameis Winston meets the media. What do you think they asked him? Communication. 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 So, Jameis, how do you improve the communication?
That's communication. We just have to get on top of the communication, make sure that everyone is getting the right call, and making sure that I'm back there constructing everything and getting everybody lined up and getting everybody slimed the right way. But I'm confident in, one, in our offensive line because we have the best offensive line in the NFL, and two, in me being able to handle that process and communicate to those guys effectively so we can get the protection where it should be.
So I hear that, and I start to wonder, and I'll ask Ross Jackson if he can get some insight on this. Did they in 1 week's time then switch, hey, Jameis, you're the one making the calls and protection calls, and then he didn't do it properly or didn't do it well or at all? I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there. I mean, was Cesar Ruiz making any calls whatsoever then? Because when I hear him say that, is he saying, okay, well, then this week I'm taking over full control of that. I'm sliding everybody. I'm doing that because, again, remember, Eric McCoy going into the season. Teron Armstead told us this in training camp during the preseason, that Eric McCoy was now Drew Brees. Line slides, protection calls, designating the mic. Like I said, it was just baffling. I mean, look, off the edge, picking up the right guy, stunts, I get it. Three straight plays, the guy lined up basically either to the front or to the side of the center, goes right by him and affects the play. It's insane. Jameis, what did you learn from the film after watching it?
Being better on first and second down to give ourselves a great chance percentage-wise on third downs. Developing a rhythm will be the second thing, just making sure that we're trying to constantly stay in good down and distance, move the ball, execute third down so we can keep drive sustained. And the third thing would just be communication, making sure that everybody is getting a call, making sure that everybody is on the same page so that we all can play fast and execute to our highest level.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. He did say, look, obviously the one thing that you have got to do is avoid the bad decisions. All right, fine. So people come after him. He's spinning for his life. He did still decide to fling it. All right. Here's what he had to say about that.
I think the biggest thing is being in better first down and second down efficiency, not putting yourself in a position to make plays at the end of the game where you have to push the ball down the field. Understanding just because you're capable of making a play doesn't mean you necessarily should make it. I think it starts with just the overall rhythm of the game as an offense, as myself, and just going out there and executing.
Ross Jackson coming up next segment, but first we'll go to the phone lines. G, what you got, sir? How are you?
I'm fine, man. How are you?
Doing good, man. What you got today?
Let me start it down. So that was one of my questions you hit on. Is it the fact that it was it Jameis that didn't know
right
how to dissect those blitzes coming at him, or was it the lack of experience on Ruiz's part to control that? I mean, I know it took Drew had to have taken Drew a while to get to the point to where he could dissect and figure out who the mic will,
sure,
who's coming,
right,
who's not, who's dropping. You know, so I'm not ready to write him off even if it is, but
right,
I do want to know if the coaches are saying that this is a deficiency and I don't think we'll ever make it up. I mean, he supposedly scored off the charts on the Wonderlic, so I'm going to think that he's capable of being coached into learning how to play this game pre-snap as opposed to winging it on the fly, which is why he's always in that type of situation where he's throwing from behind. You know what I mean? Except for the Green Bay game, because they didn't obviously dial up a lot of pressure, or maybe the pressure just didn't get in. And two, to the point, the defensive line, yeah, they did okay. You got some pressures out there. But for the most part, you left those linebackers that have limited experience in a full game, you left them, like, hanging out to dry. And I saw Malcolm and Marcus actually covering some of their weak sides. So they looked bad in the process, which is, you know, understandable because you want to hide your deficiency, I guess, as a defensive coordinator.
Right.
But if you're playing man and everybody on their own, you got to figure it out, Bubba. So I'm going to hang up and listen. But those are my two questions. Do you think Jameis actually is not picking up or reading those plays pre-snap? And also, am I seeing this wrong? The down four didn't get enough pressure.
I think, G, what happened was you had an off season where McCoy was doing it, and he was tasked to do that. We'll ask Ross here as you go to break, but I think that is part of the reason. And then all of a sudden, Jameis now has to sort of do that, not that he has it. I don't know if he did or didn't in Tampa. So that's kind of what's the question about that? All I know, regardless, neither was doing the right thing. Because, again, it was just incredible to sort of watch. I'm with you, man. The defense, though, I think Dennis Allen, I got to give him credit, he figured some things out enough to sort of put a Band-Aid on the middle of the field and stuff. And, look, they kept the Panthers to field goals in a couple of times that could have blown the game wide open. And, again, they only scored one touchdown in the second half. Hey, folks, don't forget the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, DraftKings, putting you customers in the center of the action with a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Get in on the action now. Pick your lineup. Stay under the salary cap. See how your team stacks up against the competition. Look, DraftKings is safe, secure, reliable. Best part is you can deposit or withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings app. Put in the code LaRose when it asks you if you have a code. LaRose, L-A-R-O-S-E. O-S-E to get a free shot at millions in total prizes. Up next, Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home of strong.
Whether you need to store one pallet or 10,000, Brown Eagle can help. We offer low-cost pallet storage and full-service fulfillment solutions. We also provide comprehensive value-added services like sorting, kitting, picking, packaging, labeling, shipping, and light assembly. For immediate pallet storage, contact Brown Eagle, Louisiana-owned and operated for nearly 50 years. Call us at 225-769-1111 or visit browneagle.com today.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Rouse's Markets and their amazing team members have been helping our Bayou friends and neighbors and communities all over South Louisiana during the days after Hurricane Ida. Even as some of those Rouse's Markets team members are putting their own lives back together, they are taking care of our communities because that is what Rouse's Markets does every single day. Neighbors helping neighbors. Just one more reason that Rouse's Markets feels like home.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1.
Hello? Hi, welcome back. Sports Hangover. We'll try to get Ross Jackson here in a quick second, as that's kind of what happens when you're still trying to clean up and get things going from Hurricane Ida. Power went out. So there you go. But thanks for holding on here. Let's see if we can get Ross Jackson here in a quick second. As I just played, coming out of the break, Bill Belichick started out his press conference yesterday by saying,
"All right, the, getting ready for the Saints here. This is, clearly one of the best coach teams in the league.
There you go. Clearly one of the best coach teams in the league. They normally are. They honestly are normally. That is the case." As Ross Jackson joins us here. Ross, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Power went out over at the station. LaFouche Power is still trying to recover, sir. So that's a good thing, though. If power goes in and out, that means they're putting stuff back together. How are you this afternoon?
Right. Doing just fine, man. Appreciate you asking, and as always, appreciate being here on these Thursdays, man. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, as always. Help me out. I played Brian Baldinger's video he put out two hours ago that showed the Panthers used the same blitz at the end of the second quarter three straight times that resulted in an interception by Jameis Winston. Ross, it's remarkable they did that three straight times. It's remarkable that players keep running past Cesar Ruiz as well over and over again. I don't think it's normal to have your center mainly blocking air or grass, and I saw that way too much. What happened in terms of this communication thing? Was it the QB? Was it the center? Because it didn't happen last week. So what have you been able to deduce, find out, or even talk when you have the podcast with Deuce Windham?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you look at the communication issues as being something that is just a part of what the Saints ended up having to deal with, particularly without the coaching staff there the entire week, the coaching staff there not being able to be there on the sideline, in addition to having a first-time starter at center or a first-time NFL starter at center. I know he played the position in college. This is an entirely different offense, and he wasn't learning these calls, checks, and protection, Cesar Ruiz, over the course of the offseason because he was focused on being a guard. And then, that's where those protection calls come from now. It used to be that it's been Drew Brees for the past 14 of his 15 years. He didn't really take that over until 2007, the second year of his tenure with the Saints. But now that responsibility has gone back to the center, which is not unique across the NFL. It's just unique for the New Orleans Saints because what has been the case over the past, 14 years. So I think that it starts at the fact that you have all of these potential breakdowns of communication all start from the center position, but it's not all on Cesar Ruiz, right? It's the circumstance, it's the lack of, it's the coaching not being available. It's just one of those things where you're only able to come out of the situation to which you're subject. And then the second level, or rather third level pressure from the secondary, usually gets called by the quarterback and the running back in the backfield. But regardless, when you look at that pressure, that's coming from front seven. That's usually the center's responsibility.
Ross, that was accurate. You have absolutely increased your segment by using sound effects to describe the Saints offensive line getting torched last week. They needed the fire department. They needed everybody to rescue them. It's crazy because we saw what happened last week. But again, you maybe it was in the plan. I don't know. I guess the thing that boggles my mind is, five plays into the game against Green Bay, McCoy went out. So Cesar Ruiz and Jameis Winston had to do what they should have done last week for most of week one. Is that kind of hard to understand?
It would be it wouldn't be if the circumstances were the same, right?
Okay.
So you have to look at what the difference was going into week one versus the difference going into week 2, which is nearly an entire coaching staff installing a game plan, right? It's where you, and this is what we talked about last week, is having the entire offense in the room going to be something that creates greater cohesion, or does it create fractured communication? It was the exact question that we asked last week. Now we hear, you know, we got our answer that it created fractured communication. That's one part of it, though. The other part of it is that the Green Bay pass rush is not as exotic. It's not as aggressive. It's not, and I would venture to say it's not as productive as what Carolina's pass rush has proven to be at the beginning of the season. You're talking about one team that's got 10 sacks, another team that's only achieved one. And so I think you the thing, the gap here between those two games was both preparation and then opponent, right?
Yeah.
What Carolina did shouldn't be diminished by the fact that the Saints' 100% offensive line struggled, right? Carolina's defense and Carolina's pass rush is very, very good, and we saw that on full display on Sunday, whether to our liking or not.
Yeah, no doubt. Ross, so one of the things you look at moving forward, though, of course, is now you're going to face Bill Belichick and his defense. And Sean Payton said it, I believe, yesterday, and that how they defend different teams changes by the week. So it's kind of tough to see that. He's only beaten Bill once, by the way. So is that concerning if you're a Saints fan?
I think as a, you know, for Saints fans, that Saints fans should be concerned going into this game nonetheless. And I'm usually the very positive analyst. But the fact of the matter is that you saw what happened to the New Orleans Saints offensive line last week. To this point, they still haven't gotten full coaching staff back, although that 10-day window is ending very quickly, might actually
right.
say. And so, you know, there might be some improvements there. And certainly it's not hard to improve upon last week's performance, because last week's performance, in terms of over 64% pressure rate, was bottom three since they've started tracking that metric. So not hard to improve from that, but you're about to go up against the best defensive mind in the NFL in Bill Belichick. And so I think that there's concern around the corner, and it gives you an immediate measuring stick for how quickly this team can take what was a very disappointing loss and disappointing mm-hmm. play, particularly on that offensive line and on the offensive side, and see how much they're able to progress and produce from that and improve from that. So you're immediately going to have a challenge right in front of you, because Bill Belichick and this Patriots defense is also very good. They're particularly good in the passing game. So that's going to be a big part of what you're watching, is that measuring stick for improvement in this game coming up.
Speaking with Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson Nola is the way to follow on Twitter. I got a few more minutes here as Power cut our segment short, sir. So let's get to the defensive side of things. The offense, I do think they'll figure it out. Ross, you go mm-hmm. to practice, you'll sit in the room, the coaches will have, I mean, if anything, we'll do the clap, and you know, we'll figure out the basic way to protect and snap the ball. You can't change athletic ability, and it is what it is. They're going to attack the middle of the field. Matt Jones, when I look at his highlights from the first 2 weeks, they're high percentage throws. What is it, 51 of 69, 76%. They're quick passes to get the ball out of his hands, slants, out routes, crossing routes over the middle. And bless Zach Bond's heart, but he's not Quan Alexander. Carolina attacked it. Dennis Allen figured it out at some point. They bandaged it. They only gave up one touchdown to Carolina in the second half. So I do expect, though, New England to attack that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Zach Bond is the will linebacker that lines up next to Mario Davis, he will likely be a target for that New England passing attack. New England with Mac Jones is very similar to what New Orleans had with Teddy Bridgewater. Get the ball out quickly, go high percentage, stay close to the line of scrimmage, attack the middle of the field, and then take shots when they're available. It's very much what Mac Jones is going to do and is going to look to do with this New England offense. And in particular, what I'm going to be watching is when they're in 22 or 12 personnel, i.e. when they use two tight ends and they march two tight ends out there. Because they have two very talented tight ends in Jonnu Smith, formerly of the Tennessee Titans, and then Hunter Henry, formerly of the Los Angeles Chargers. Those two players give you the ability to attack over the middle of the field, but then also give you the blocking ability to be able to produce on the ground with, you know, a stable of running backs that's always used, the fantasy nightmare that is the New England Patriots offense, because you just never know where the production is going to come from. Mm-hmm. So that in particular is what I'm going to be watching. When they come out in those heavier sets, which they will use all over the field, just like the New Orleans Saints do,
yeah.
Where do they attack? It's going to be over the middle of the field. Can the Saints stop that over on the defensive side?
All right, so What's the key of keys, you think? I honestly think confidence, quick start, early success for the Saints. And I also think that a little bit about New England, too. They probably felt they should have won the first game. So it's going to be a tough game here over there. But I think if the Saints can, first two drives, get three, you know, I mean, a touchdown, just something going, a first down, Ross. I'm going to stand up and clap in my living room, you know. For the first blitz pickup, just something to kind of get them, all right, now we're in the game, and not be thinking. I think that's my key. Yeah. Just get off to a good start.
Yeah, I think the offensive line is obviously a huge part of it. But outside of that, this is a New England Patriots team that allowed 4.9 yards per carry on the ground to the New York Jets last week. A New York Jets offense that looked, a run offense that looked non-existent against Carolina the first week. There's a pattern here. And so for the New Orleans Saints, I think that you're going up against a very, very good pass defense that brings a very good pass rush, but has been 24th in terms of efficiency on the defensive side against the run in terms of EPA. So I think that you're a big key for me on the offensive side is attacking via the run game and being able to produce. Alvin Kamara coming off a game where he averaged less than a yard per carry. No way that's happening a second week in a row. So I look very much, I'm going to be very much watching Alvin Kamara, Tony Jones Jr., what the game plan is around them to get them producing on the ground and moving the football early, controlling the clock, all the things that you saw the Saints do and benefit from in the passing game over in week one.
Next week, solar panels, batteries, maybe Jordan run like a hamster wheel to get some electricity. We'll find a way to not shortchange your segment. Look, man, it is what it is, but thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Man,
I love the Jordan on a hamster wheel idea.
I do, too. Well, look, I'm not even kidding you, Ross. He has a walking class at Southeastern. Like, every morning he has to go to a class to walk.
Mm-hmm. Sure he does. We had a class in my undergrad that we called underwater basket weaving, which is just about the same.
Go check out the podcast at every Thursday at 12:15, Mr. Ross Jackson. Thank you, sir. Enjoy the weekend.
Absolutely. Same to you, bud. Stay safe. Talk to you soon.
For sure. Voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glore is next. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. Dashboard light problems? We can help. Our free Fix Finder service can read your check engine light, ABS light, and service indicator light, and give you possible solutions, verified by licensed technicians. You'll even get detailed results sent straight to your email so you have them when you need it most. It's the most complete free warning light report backed by technician-verified fixes. The free Fix Finder service, only at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
More details at AutoZone.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
It's O-Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you can earn double, triple, even up to five times O-Rewards points on select purchases. Get bonus points on more than 200 items throughout the store, like wiper blades, fuel system cleaners, motor oil, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you finally ready to sell that motorcycle or ATV that is just collecting dust in your garage? Harley, Honda, Polaris, Yamaha, or anything like it? RumbleOn.com will pay you cash today. And in minutes, you have a real cash offer. We will pay you cash before we pick it up. No more strangers coming to your house from a listing site. Use promo code RADIO for an extra $300 on your cash offer. Get your cash offer today. RumbleOn.com. Fast bikes, faster cash.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
You know, after this game Saturday night, we're going to be a third, the season's going to be a third completed. Some of these guys don't realize that. know, it happens fast. It happens quick. And, you know, we need in-season heroes. Some guys are really good January through August. You know, they light it up on social media. They lift the weights. They get personal trainers. They do all sorts of stuff. This is when we need the tough guy stuff. You know, and it's going to be done before you know it. It just happens fast. And that's three games in the book. There'll be four games in the book after Saturday night. So this is when we need it.
Voice of the Tulane Green Wave, Corey Glory joins us. Corey, good afternoon, sir. Are you one of those off-season heroes? Are you an in-season hero, sir?
Gus, I am a hero whenever you need me to be a hero.
I love Coach Fritz. Look, it's great, though, to hear that. That sounds like football, right? And look, he brings up an interesting point. Look, obviously, when you look at Tulane going into this game, it's against UAB. We'll get into the matchups and everything. But I thought it was something that I guess you can't overstate when you're listening to one of the players yesterday, Cam Carroll, and he was asked, what was it like to be back home? Listen quickly.
I can't even explain the feeling. Like it's overjoyful. Like it's like a dream come true because, you know, we've been in Birmingham, Alabama for about a month. So just being able to be back home, you know, it's like a great feeling.
You've had to make the trip a couple of times back and forth and kind of be with them around there as well. How difficult actually was the process before they finally got home and practiced at Yulman this week?
Yeah, you know, I think they did as good of a job of handling it as possible, and the setup was great. It could have been a whole heck of a lot worse. I mean, it was not the traveling road show of 2005. It was they were based in one spot and had to alter two of their three games and where they practiced and all of that. But when push came to shove, I mean, these guys were going stir crazy towards the end of it, and it became almost like a rebirth of camp. That was a common refrain I heard, where the schedule was so different from what they had just started when the season was supposed to begin, and it wasn't practice. It was, all right, you go do this in the morning, and then you're around in the afternoon, and coaches always know where you are, and you're in that hotel. And for a lot of guys, it was a challenge to find a way to kind of unplug from it when they needed to, if they needed to. Add on top of it where you don't have the training room that you're used to. You're not going to class until last week, and it's remote again, and you're lifting weights at a high school nearby. You don't have your own weight room. I think it was a culmination of it all just kind of building, and I think you saw some of that maybe leak out last Saturday in Oxford, where it hit a point, I think, midway through that third quarter, where I think these guys have just said, okay, it's time to go home. Like, we need to go home, and we need to reset the gears here and maybe kind of even start fresh this week.
So, Corey, what kind of football team is Tulane? We've seen them play two top programs, big names, obviously, Oklahoma, Ole Miss. I'm going to take that Ole Miss game and go, look, there's a reason Matt Corral is a Heisman guy. There's a reason Lane Kiffin, I think, this year might be able to get Alabama. They're at a different level program sort of thing there. And you sort of saw that, the speed, the athleticism, just where they are. But you've seen a couple of games here. What kind of team are we going to see now after UAB when they start conference play? But here at home, what are Green Wave fans going to see on the field at Yulman Saturday night?
I'd like to think, Gus, that the last two games that we've seen, there's a middle ground of what we saw, where it was Ole Miss was an A. And the week before was everything firing on all cylinders against Morgan State. So that brings me to the first game in Oklahoma, where you saw kind of a mix of the two, where you saw them fall behind in that first half and have trouble keeping things in front of them against a high-octane offense. But then they calmed down, they controlled the pace, and they ran a little bit more of a methodical offense in the second half of that game. And they were able to play stout defense, especially up front in that front seven. And that allows us the secondary to kind of shore things up against that Oklahoma receiving core. And they came back in that game. So I'd like to think that 3 weeks into the season, that week one game is the team that I think we're going to see moving forward. A lot went right week two. Everything went wrong in week three. So hopefully, starting Saturday night against UAB, the team that we saw in Norman is a thing that we see moving forward, with the only change being they pull out a win on top of it.
So let me ask you this. I think there's certain things that are somewhat traits. I mean, again, it's three games, but let's see if this continues. Tell me if I'm wrong or right on this. Tulane has weapons at tight end, and it's going to be a staple of this offense, I think, as long as this offensive coordinator's here.
I think that's pretty well set now, Gus, 3 weeks in. It didn't seem like a flash in the pan now that we're seeing it pretty regularly. And Tyreek James is the team leader in grabs, in yards, grabs, and touchdowns already 3 weeks into the year. So I think that's pretty well cemented that now the tight end position seems to be elevated, where it's a trustworthy element of this offense. I'd like to see Will Wallace get back into the rhythm here. He didn't get a target at all last week at Ole Miss, but if you can get him on the same page with Tyreek, then that two tight end combination becomes really hard to stop. So yeah, I'm with you there. I think the tight end is now kind of proven and solidified 3 weeks in as the go-to weapon.
Speak with Corey Glore, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, at Corey Glore over on Twitter. The backfield, the Tulane rushing attack, still looking for someone to kind of step up, but it could possibly be someone by the name of Cam Carroll, who we just heard, 106 yards now total, a touchdown. And is he how important or how big will it be to have a dependable, hey, he's our guy that's going to try to get us 100 yards or stuff? Or do you think that Tulane is going to still try to be by committee in the backfield?
Well, I think they would love to see Cam Carroll take another step forward here. I've been kind of waiting for it. I think he is waiting for it and trying to figure out why it hasn't quite come together just yet the first 3 weeks of the year. Where I don't know if they really need him to be the number one guy is how the evolution and the finishing of the rehab of Tajay Spears goes over the next couple weeks. Willie Fritz has been very vocal here over the last week and a half about the Tajay we see now will not be the same guy we see in a couple weeks. He will be 100%. And if you have that 1-2 punch, they're different enough skill set wise, so that becomes a huge problem for defenses to stop. And then I'd love to see Devin Brumfield, the Utah transfer, the North Shore guy, get some more involvement here. I think he's a good blend of the two. And right. So while you're waiting for Spears to kind of return to his full form and Carroll still trying to get on track, I think Brumfield can be a guy that helps bridge that gap and become a good option for
him. Is Michael Pratt completely one gigantic walking bruise? Because the guy runs, he gets hit, he does. I mean, every time I see him on the sideline, he has some bloody tissue out of a nostril. You know, he has red marks on his face, there's scratches on his arms. Is he one of the toughest QBs you've seen, man? Seriously, like he embodies, I guess, fight on this team. He really does.
And it's not just that he gets battered and bruised in nearly every play, Gus, is that by and large, still like maintains a great attitude and the work that he does just communicating with guys on the sideline, even when he is not feeling close to 100%. He certainly wasn't through that Ole Miss game. That's something else that stands out to me. It's not just the physicality and the toughness he's shown there. It's that the psychological side of it and the fact that he still understands that he needs to show that he's a kind of helping run the show and making sure guys stay focused and not get too down on themselves. And there were plenty of chances on Saturday for that to happen and still rally the troops around when he's beat up. And he came through that game. He went through a ringer against Ole Miss. And so and toughness is an understatement for what Pratt has shown us, I think, 3 weeks in.
All right. Finally, as we wrap up, sir, it's UAB, the Blazers, 7:00 at Yeoman Stadium on Saturday night. They're an interesting program, right? Literally had no football just a while back. Now they're 2-1 this season, and they could be new members of the American Athletic Conference in the near future. You never know. What kind of football team, what kind of game are we going to see on Saturday?
Well, you talked about Tulane using the tight end here, Gus. I think you're going to see that a lot from UAB. 41% of their grabs are from their two tight ends. And so you might see a tight end fest Saturday night in the return to Yeoman Stadium. They're also still trying to, I think, lock down who their quarterback is going to be. Tyler Johnson started the year, was great in their week one win over Jacksonville State. He has been subpar since, and Dylan Hopkins has come in, and Hopkins had a great game in their win over North Texas last week. So you're probably going to see a little bit of a revolving door early on in the quarterback position for UAB until one of these two guys actually take a little bit of a mantle here. I would imagine Hopkins will get the start, but Johnson started the first three. So you might have to vary up who you're seeing in the, you know, running the show in the backfield right now for UAB. But when push comes to shove, they're looking for their tight end right now, and not just over the middle, deep ball threats as well. So that's right. The key to UAB. Keep the tight ends in check, and you're going to get a win.
Corey, always appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk again next Thursday. We'll tune in over the weekend, Saturday night, Yeoman Stadium. What was it like to get back in the booth, man? 10 seconds.
Oh, man, it was weird. Very weird.
No doubt. You probably took one of those deep inhales. Ah, my booth. All right, my friend, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Right, Corey Glore over on Twitter. We come back to voice of the LSU Fighting Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair, next on ESPN New Orleans.
Hot potato. It's tickling my fancy. Speak up. I can't hear you. Here on this mountaintop.
Calvin Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained sales staff help you every step of the way. Their skilled management team ensures that you'll have a phenomenal experience, whether it be sales, service, parts, or financing. Ford, the number one brand in America. Stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
When we walk, when we reach, when we play, we're moving through life. And in the wake of COVID-19, we haven't been moving enough. An estimated 80% of Americans aren't getting their recommended daily amount of physical activity. It's time to move and keep moving, America. Wherever you are and however you can, movement reduces your risk of diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. It improves your brain function and mental health. It helps you manage pain and boost your immune system. And when you need help, physical therapists and physical therapist assistants are by your side with expert care to increase your strength and mobility and to improve your quality of life through prescribed exercise and teamwork. Because even in a pandemic, we are meant to climb, to dance, to soar, to thrive. Choose to move. Choose physical therapy. Visit ChoosePT.com.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Heineck Mexican Food and Steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
How can you be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, welcome back. We'll try to get a hold of the voice of the LSU Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair, here in a couple of seconds. In the meantime, let's hear from both head coaches, Coach O and, of course, Mike Leach over there at Mississippi State. He was asked during his press conference this week on beating LSU last year. His thoughts on that.
It was a good game. It was just such a swirl of, well, you know, what was happening all over the place. You know, I mean, there's a point to where I can't remember how close to, but didn't know if we were going to play or not. You know, everybody's messing with this COVID stuff and COVID this, COVID, COVID, COVID. I mean, and that was back, you know, keep in mind, that was just still at the point where, you know, everybody loves saying COVID. I mean, that was, you know, the newness hadn't worn off. People would say COVID five times just to get a good taste in their mouth. And so then we go to we go there, and we're very happy we had the opportunity to play. Thrilled about that. And then yeah, so then we played, and it was an intense game, as it is when you play LSU, because they're so big and fast. And then and it was a very explosive game on both sides, you know, big chunks of yards and things. And well, anyways, we won, and so it was a good and exciting game.
All right, so Coach O was asked this week on the other side, is this a revenge game?
Well, you know, I don't know about a revenge game, but we have our antennas up. We know how good they are.
And we know we got in the game, and we weren't expecting to get burnt. We got burnt. I mean, we just couldn't cover, and we just didn't have the answers. So hopefully this year we do have the answers. I don't think it was our players' fault at all. They just weren't in good position. They were confused. Hopefully we fix that. And I think Jay Ward is going to play. We have to see how the week goes, but we need him. And hopefully he plays this week. We're going to need him.
All right, let's go back over to Mike Leach. And when he looks at really his team and what stands out on the tape from last year, what stands out about LSU this year, any differences?
Well, not a lot, because they changed a lot of coaches over there, so it's pretty tough, you know. You know, there's really not much crossover, at least as far as, you know, the personnel that's calling it and their coaches, so. You know, and I think Ed's more involved is what I heard. I don't know that for sure, but so anyway, we're taking what we got.
What stands out to you about what LSU does on defense?
You know, it's just kind of a fundamental defense that, it's pretty, very fundamental. They like, kind of the combination of man and various shell zones, and then and they're a four-man front. They don't mess with three-man front a whole lot, and you know, very basic and very committed to what they do, and sometimes those type of defenses are the most dangerous.
All right, so there you go. That's his thoughts on the LSU defense. He's a ball of excitement, no doubt about it. Bear with us here, folks. Almost like sitting in class. Coach O was asked, what does he think will be different from this year that was different from last year?
Well, you know, I can't say that I've seen anything that gives me confidence that it won't be like last year. I'm not going to say that. My antennas are still up. We got a great week of preparation ahead. We have to get better. You know, we still have some misassignments there. We still have some busts. Crossing routes have given us a problem. We still have some guys loose in coverage. So those things need to be fixed. They're fixed in a hurry because I know they're going to find it. So do I believe that we're going to play well? Yes. Do I believe that we're going to get better? Yes, but we still have a lot of things to fix.
All right, so there you go. As for back, let's go over to Mike Leach and see what he has to say about quarterback Mac Johnson, the Tigers.
I think he's good. I mean, I thought he was good before, too. I think he's good. And then you know, they're awfully similar. Some teams, some years you're better than others, but, you know, they're very similar to what they were last year as far as, you know, their style of play, that type of thing, you know. And I think, most teams in the country, they're an emerging team. So, you know, what they are this week's tough to say.
All right. As for Coach O, his thoughts on, of course, the folks that will be bringing all of those cowbells.
You know, we're going to play music all week, and you know, they play. You know, they get those speakers really loud there. Their fans are involved. It's going to be 11 o'clock in the morning. We got the Wichita guys up and get going. But yes, it does provide a challenge. They get those cowbells going. It is one of a lot of stadiums we're going to play in.
Indeed. It is going to be a very interesting atmosphere, no doubt about it, and see how the Tigers handle that. Remember, they are 2.5-point favorites. So, look, Mike Leach and State, interesting expectations this year in terms of how they're viewed nationally and really him as well. And he was sort of asked about how he feels where his team is right now and where they're going.
Well, we're still battling through some of our youth and inexperience. You know, I mean, it's, you know, we talk about Will like he's a veteran. This was his ninth start. And then even that without the pedigree of numerous seasons before and red shirts and everything else. But, yeah, we're just battling through that, and it's frustrating, and everybody wants it to move quicker you know, we are where we are, and so we just have to try to improve every day and get better at it. And the thing is a portion of it, I think, is making these guys realize their potential. I think sometimes they don't fully appreciate where they are and where they've, developed in the last year. And we got to somehow create that vision with them a little bit, too.
So Mississippi State 2-1, second right now in the SEC West. Opening game of the year was Louisiana Tech. They won 35-34. Remember, that was one of the first games that Sean Fox lost it. He knew that was coming. Then they hosted NC State, and they won 24-10. Remember in that game against Tech, they were down, 20 points to start the fourth quarter and came back and won. So, you know, that offense can be high-powered and can score quickly. Then last week they lost at Memphis 31-29. We saw the Tigers pull up that win. So after LSU, they'll be at Texas A&M and then host Alabama. So a tough three-game stretch for Mississippi State. And again, when you take a look at this matchup between the two, LSU a 2.5-point favorite right now through three games. Tigers averaging 36.7 points a game. Mississippi State 29.3. The Bulldogs are allowing 25 points a game. LSU 22 points per game. Mississippi State averaging 406, LSU 389. Of course, most of that probably got bumped up by last week. That offense kind of finding some flow, something to be, positive about, considering the first 2 weeks it wasn't working. So yards rushing is interesting. Mississippi State 45, the Tigers 85. The Tigers obviously would like to run the football a little bit more, a little bit better. That will help in that passing game and protecting Max Johnson. They're averaging 303 yards in the air. Mississippi State 361 yards in the air. On the ground, Mississippi State is allowing 243 yards passing, just 74 yards rushing, though. LSU is allowing 105 on the ground and 193 in the air. So we will see what takes place Saturday morning. Don't forget that is an 11 a.m. kickoff over in Stark, Vegas. Let's wrap up hour number one by reminding you to download that DraftKings app, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. You know how to do this. It's like fantasy football. We will speak with Ben Heisler coming up at 1:30. So any fantasy football questions, send it our way. You can either tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA or call us during that segment. But you know what that means, right? You pick your lineup. There's a salary cap you have to stay under. Each player has a number attached to it. So stay under your cap and then see how you do against the competition. And you can feel that NFL action like never before, since you have a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings, that's the app. It's safe, secure, reliable. You can always deposit or withdraw your cash whenever you want to. DraftKings, get the app. Use the